الحبيب الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله. My respected علماء elders, brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us a wonderful opportunity once again for these 3 days to sit in the company of the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as has been mentioned before, entering the masjid, we should make intention of i'tikaf, and with the intention of our islah, reformation, if we are sitting here. And for a person who's got the desire to change, one bayan is sufficient for that person. But we must sit with that talab and the desire, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant to a person. So inshallah, without any further time wasted, we will call Qari Saab from Qari Yaqub Saab from Rustenburg, who is the Khalifa of Hazrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Saab rahmatullah alayhi. We'll be inshallah rendering some ash'ar and some nazams. This was actually a practice in the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At certain times Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would call certain ash'ar, poets, and Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, and there were many other poets also. We would call them front, sing one nazam, sing another nazam. And sometimes up to 100 ash'ar, 100 nazams, they would sing in the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this also is one of the sunnahs of the sunnahs of the masjid of Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we will be making amal and practicing upon. Allah give us tawfiq.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. You must have seen the ocean. And soon as ocean comes in mind, immediately comes water. So means we have seen the ocean of the water. Did anyone saw the ocean of blood? Kisi nahi dekha hoga. Let me through take you to ocean of blood. Hazrat Hakim Saab, nawwarallahu marqadahu, rahmatullah, rahmatan wasi'ah. Unke ashar hai, aur uska mauzu hai khoon ka samandar. Mauzu hai khoon ka سمندر. من سالکین جو مجاہدہ سے گزرتے ہیں, خصوصاً ہمارے حضرت والا جو جن مراحل سے گزرے ہیں, that was like a ocean of blood. سنو داستان مزتر, سنو داستان مزتر, ذرا دل پہ ہاتھ رکھ کر یہ لہو لوہا کا منظر, میرا سر ہے زیر خنجر, میرے خون کا بحر احمر, میرے خون کا بحر احمر, ذرا دیکھنا سنبھل کر, ذرا دیکھنا سنبھل کر. میں کلی ہوں ناشی گفتہ. کلی جانتے ہیں نا, بد. لیکن یہ کلی ایسی ہے جو ابھی کھلی نہیں ہے. ناشی گفتہ کے معنی کھلی نہیں ہے. جب کھل جاتا ہے تو وہ پھول ہو جاتا ہے. میں کلی ہوں ناشی گفتہ, میری آرزو شکستا, میں ہوں ایک ہوش رفتا, میں ہوں ایک ہوش رفتا, میرا درد راز بستا, میری حسرتوں کا منظر, ذرا دیکھنا سنبھل کر, ذرا دیکھنا سنبھل کر. یہ حضرت والا کہہ رہے ہیں. حضرت والا کو ذہن میں رکھیے. میرے دل میں غم نہاں ہے، میرے دل میں غم نہاں ہے، میری چشم خون فشاں ہے.
ہماری آنکھ جو ہے وہ آنسو برساتی ہے، حضرت فرماتے ہیں میری آنکھ خون برساتی ہے.
میرے دل میں غم نہاں ہے، میری چشم خون فشاں ہے، میرے لب پہ وہ فغاں ہے، میرے لب پہ وہ فغاں ہے کہ فلک بنوحہ خاں ہے. میری بے کسی کا منظر، میری بے کسی کا منظر، ذرا دیکھنا سنبھل کر، ذرا دیکھنا سنبھل کر.
حضرت فرماتے ہیں کہ ہم دیکھ بھی نہیں سکتے تو ذرا سنبھل کے دیکھنا، اس میں بہت بڑا مطلب ہے. دیکھ بھی تم نہیں دیکھ سکتے لیکن ذرا سنبھل کے دیکھو.
یہ ترپ ترپ کے جینا، یہ ترپ ترپ کے جینا، لہو آرزو کا پینا، یہ ترپ ترپ کے جینا، لہو آرزو کا پینا، یہی میرا جام و مینا، یہی میرا جام و مینا، یہی میرا طور سینا، میری وادیوں کا منظر، میری وادیوں کا منظر، ذرا دیکھنا سنبھل کر، ذرا دیکھنا سنبھل کر. میری آہ کا اثر ہے، میری آہ کا اثر ہے، میرے درد کا ثمر ہے کہ جہاں بھی سنگ در ہے، کہ جہاں بھی سنگ در ہے، میری آنسوؤں سے تر ہے، میری عاشقی کا منظر، میری عاشقی کا منظر، ذرا دیکھنا سنبھل کر، ذرا دیکھنا سنبھل کر. میرا غم زدہ جگر ہے، میرا غم زدہ جگر ہے، میری چشم چشم تر ہے.
معلوم ہوتا ہے کہ حضرت والا نے ان اشعار کو اپنا دل پورا کر دیا ہے، اپنا دل جو ہے کھول دیا ہے.
میرا غم زدہ جگر ہے، میری چشم چشم تر ہے، میرا بحر خون سے تر ہے.
بحر یعنی سمندر اور بر کے معنی زمین.
میرا بحر خون سے تر ہے، میرا بر لہو سے تر ہے، میرے بحر و بر کا منظر، میرے بحر و بر کا منظر، ذرا دیکھنا سنبھل کر، ذرا دیکھنا سنبھل کر. وہ جو خالق جہاں ہے، وہ جو خالق جہاں ہے،
ہائے ہائے،
وہی میرا رازداں ہے.
کیا بات کہہ دی، یعنی میرا رازداں سوائے میرے خالق کے اور مالک اور کوئی نہیں، میں کن حالات سے گزر رہا ہوں اللہ جانتا ہے. حضرت نے گویا اپنے دل کو نکال دیا ہے یہاں.
وہ جو خالق جہاں ہے,
یہ ہمارے سبق کے لیے ہے کہ سالکین کو ایسا ہونا چاہیے.
وہ جو خالق جہاں ہے وہی میرا رازداں ہے, میرا حال خود زباں ہے, میرا حال خود زباں ہے, میرا عشق بے زباں ہے, کسی بے زباں کا منظر ذرا دیکھنا سنبھل کر, ذرا دیکھنا سنبھل کر. میری فکر لا مکان ہے, میری فکر لا مکان ہے, میرا درد جاویداں ہے, میرا قصہ دل ستاں ہے.
دل ستاں کے معنی کیا؟ دل کو ٹوڑنے والا, دل کو پارا پارا کرنے والا, دل کو ریزا ریزا کرنے والا.
میرا قصہ دل ستاں ہے, میرے رگ سے خون رواں ہے, میرے خون کا سمندر, میرے خون کا سمندر, ذرا دیکھنا سنبھل کر, ذرا دیکھنا سنبھل کر.
اور سنیے,
میرا غم خوشی سے بہتر.
کیا بات کہہ دی, کیا بات کہہ دی.
میرا غم خوشی سے بہتر,
ہم ڈھونڈتے ہیں خوشی کو اور خوشی میں خوشی ہماری, خوشی میں ہماری خوشی. اور حضرت کیا فرماتے ہیں؟ غم میں خوشی. میری خوشی غم میں ہے اور ہماری خوشی خوشی میں.
میرا غم خوشی سے بہتر, میرا خار گل سے خوشتر.
خار کے معنی کانٹا.
میرا غم خوشی سے بہتر, میرا خار گل سے خوشتر, میری شب قمر سے انور, میری شب قمر سے انور, غم دل ہے دل کا رہبر.
کیا بات.
غم دل ہے دل کا رہبر, غم رہنما کا منظر, غم رہنما کا منظر, ذرا دیکھنا سنبھل کر, ذرا دیکھنا سنبھل کر.
حضرت نے اپنے دل کو نکال لیا, نکال کے رکھ دیا. اگلے شعر میں حضرت کی تواضع دیکھیے, حضرت کی عاجزی اور انکساری کو دیکھیے. سنیے,
یہ کرم ہے ان کا اختر.
ختم, ذبح کر دیا, ذبح.
یہ کرم ہے ان کا اختر,
نسبت ساری جو ہے خدا کی طرف.
یہ کرم ہے ان کا اختر, جو پرا ہے ان کے در پر. یہ کرم ہے ان کا اختر, جو پرا ہے ان کے در پر, کوئی زخم ہے جگر پر, کوئی زخم ہے جگر پر, غم شام ہے سحر پر.
آخر میں کہا,
میری زندگی کا منظر.
پوری زندگی کا منظر پیش کر دیا. آخر میں فرماتے ہیں,
میری زندگی کا منظر, ذرا دیکھنا سنبھل کر, ذرا دیکھنا سنبھل کر.
جزاكم الله خيرا. Speaking about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by means of these majalis, grant us that love. Ye aag lagti nahi, lagai jaati hai. This fire cannot be attained of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from any kitab, any book. Allah ta'ala sent a kitab, Quran Sharif was sent. But Allah ta'ala said, kitabun anzalnahu ilayka litukhrijan nas. We have sent the kitab to you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that you must take out the people. The Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to take out the people, even though the kitab is there. So to get the knowledge of deen, a person has to go to the ulama-i kiram. It is impossible for a person to get knowledge of deen through kitabs. And to get the nur of deen, the fire in the heart, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, a person cannot get it from kitabs. He will have to go to the men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there he will find it. Haji Ahmed Naqud Asab, Dawud Barakatum Al-Aliya, who is the Khalifa of Hazrat Shaykh Al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Asab, Rahmatullah Alayh, he was supposed to have honored us with his presence. But unfortunately, this morning he phoned. He was not feeling well at all. He's of an advanced age also. So humble request firstly for du'as. So inshallah, we will be calling Hazrat Mufti Yusuf Desai Sahib, Daum Barakatum, who is a Khalifa of our beloved Sheikh Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib, Daum Barakatum, and who is also the Imam of Masjid Hilal in Overport, and also he's running a hifz class there. And inshallah, his son will be completing his hifz today in this masjid.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان وقال تبارك وتعالى لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به إن علينا جمعه وقرآنه فإذا قرأناه فاتبع قرآنه ثم إن علينا بيانه وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم القرآن حجة لك وعليك أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم علماء إكرام الذين بي برادرز First of all, as by the teachings of our beloved Sheikh that person who hasn't learned to thank the people and those that are kind to him, then he cannot make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the same token, we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and to a muhsin, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Hadith says, through his tufail, through his sadqa, through his barakat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we receive everything. Complete deen, the Quran Sharif, dhikr, salah. Whatever we have is because of him. And through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, via sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and muhaddisin, fuqaha, mufassirin, and our mashayikh, awliya ikram, our asatiza, our sheikh, to them, we receive everything through the karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he has to say, this is only the fazl. Only the fazl, not even the rahmat. For the rahmat, we've got to pay for it. This is fazl, this is bansela from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, free of charge. What we are enjoying is free of charge. The ni'mat of Allah ta'ala showering upon us is free of charge. So for us to acknowledge and make shukr from the depths of our heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ni'mat Allah ta'ala has given us. And at least say from the bottom of the heart, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we thank you. We are indebted to you for the rest of our life and to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That those nights, Nabi of Allah cried in his room for the ummah, he cried for you and I. That how today we can sit over here, enjoy these majalis, but the name of Allah ta'ala is being taken, the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only being taken, but how Hazrat has taught us to enjoy the name of Allah. To enjoy bringing durood upon Rasulullah ﷺ, saying Jazakallahu khair for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore we are gathered here to understand and to realize and to connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through Quran Sharif, to connect ourselves to complete deen. And among the aspects of deen, we learn so beautiful from our beloved Hazrat, Dhamma barakatuhum, the love of Quran Sharif, the love of Durood Sharif, the love of the pious, of the Ahlullah, and through them we will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And really, after learning kitabs, etc., sitting in the company of Hazrat Wala, what we have understood of Quran is still much to understand. But the little fraction we've understood, what mazah, what an enjoyment. As we find Hazrat Wala when he speaks, as if now he's putting mitu into the mouth. Then understand what I'm telling you. You will enjoy, if you understand what I'm telling you, you will enjoy the mazah of every single facet of deen. In regards to Quran Sharif, because today also is the day of Khatam of Quran Sharif, for us to understand that what is the value of Quran Sharif. And Hazrat explains to us in many majalis, understand what is Quran Sharif, what Allah Ta'ala has given us, what a power Allah Ta'ala has given us of Quran Sharif, Quran Tilawat. And if you look around nowadays, our value system has changed. When Nabi of Allah gave no value, we are putting value. And where Nabi of Allah has not put value, we are attaching value to it. Because we are teaching the hifz class, you understand, our parents will take the students out of madrasa for the afternoon, for a sports afternoon, for an awards day. When Nabi of Allah said, there's no value to it. There's Quran Sharif, what value Allah has put to it. The kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is amazing, you understand, that when the harvest boy comes to madrasa in the morning, the night before, his heart was empty. That eyes of Quran wasn't in his heart. The night he sat down, opened the Quran Sharif, and he's reciting the Quran Sharif as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his pen is writing in his heart the verses of Quran Sharif. He comes the next day, he's reciting by heart. And it's amazing that how the night before his heart was totally khali, and now he's written it to his heart. This is the karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat says, Ar-Rahman allama al-Quran. So the sifat of Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches the Quran Sharif. And what value Quran has had, what Allah ta'ala has given us, what a power, what a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ali said that when I want to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I perform salah. And when I want Allah ta'ala to speak to me, then I recite Quran Sharif. Now my Allah is speaking to me. Like how today we enjoy 3 minutes on the telecom. A person ensures that I use it before end of the month. But the 3 minutes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take our time. And to use those 3 minutes, Allah is giving me time to talk to you through Quran Sharif. For us to value that time. Open Quran Sharif, sit in a corner and speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pour our heart out. In Surah Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به. In the ayat of Surah Qiyamah, where Allah ta'ala says, إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمَعَهُ وَقُرْآنَا. That indeed it is our responsibility to make jama', to get the Quran Sharif together in your heart, O my Nabi. وَقُرْآنَا, to make you recite it. It is our zimadari, our responsibility. Then, ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَا. Then it is our responsibility to make bayan of Quran. Shawli Yulasab, Muhaddis Zihlavi Rahmatullah Ali says, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, it is my responsibility that I will gather the Quran in your heart, I will cause you to recite it, and I will ensure that the bayan of Quran takes place, the seer of Quran. So Shah Sahib says, Rahmatullah Ali, that in these 3 departments of Quran, one is jama' of Quran, Quran hibz, qirat of Quran, the qurra, and bayan of Quran, the ulama ikram, the mufassireen. A very delicate ishara, indication is made, those ulama will understand, thumma comes with tarahi, for delay. The thumma, as time on time, Allah Ta'ala will create as time passes the mufassireen of the time, to make bayan of Quran Sharif. So Shah Sahib says that those that will be used for the khidmat of deen, for the khidmat of Quran in these 3 departments, the maktab, the qurra, the ulama, ikram, mufassireen, say as if these are the jawa, hirullahi fil ard. These are the limbs of Allah Ta'ala on the earth. Allah Ta'ala is using them directly to preserve Quran Sharif, be an apa in the madrasa, be a simple ustad teaching maktab. But he's part of Allah Ta'ala's plan to preserve the Quran Sharif. And those young hearts of the Suhufaz Allah Ta'ala has used as a vessel to transfer the Quran into their hearts. This is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for us in our homes, to understand how Allah says that that boy who has got the Quran Sharif has got everything. He's got everything in his heart. Today we find parents, they will take pride nowadays. End of the year, awards day. We will take the boy out of the madrasa. We will take him for awards day. And he's got so many of awards for this subject and that subject. But in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no value to it. The real awards day will be on the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala will call the Hafiz al-Quran, Iqra, Wartaqi, Wartil. That today is your awards day. That today now you recite Quran. You recite Quran today and you move on the stages of Jannah. And today will be the awards day for your parents also. They leave the awards of dunya and the pride of dunya. Today before the whole creation we will honor you. So the night you spend of reading Quran Sharif, making door, making door, making door. We know the qurbani of the parents, of the mother, of the asatiza, what they go through. So Allah Ta'ala will call the parent on the day of Qiyamah, and Allah Ta'ala will say, today is your award day. Here is the crown of Jannah and the garb of Jannah. Today you will be honored. Today you will be honored. This is what you will find when it comes to deen. We attach value where value is. Push our children in the right direction. Put them in the right direction. Put them in the line of deen. And you will lose nothing whatsoever. We have total conviction and confidence. So push our children, if Allah Ta'ala accepted the child is 1 foot is in the madrasa to do hifz, put both his feet in there, now you go on. If Allah Ta'ala has chosen from my home a boy to become a hafiz al-Quran. Just like what we find when he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the living Quran Sharif, kana khuluquhu al-Quran. If you see the Quran, look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you see the Quran in life form. Nabi of Allah was chosen as the living Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked at the hearts of mankind. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala chose Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to accompany this Quran Sharif, the life Quran. In the same way the Quran we have today, we understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked into the homes of the Muslim ummah. Allah ta'ala chose his young boys to become sahaba of Quran Sharif. That these will be my men. This will be my junood and my army. For us to understand what is Quran. Our Hazrat explains the heart out, understand what is the power of Quran. We see Hazrat before namaz, after salah, with Quran, Quran. What enjoyment is there? So this Allah ta'ala has given us, has chosen those with Quran, for us to push our children in the same line. That go and learn the Quran. And go as far as you want in Quran tilawat, in tafsir of Quran, in tarjumah of Quran, becoming ulama, qurra, preservation of Quran Sharif, and the environment of the home, make it conducive for them. Make it conducive for them. Where Quran becomes a companion. So in this ayat Allah Ta'ala explains that these three departments of deen which Allah Ta'ala has given, the jama'ah of Qur'an, the compilation of Qur'an Sharif in the hearts, the recitation of Qur'an Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses from homes. That whom has become a hafiz of the Qur'an, hamilul Qur'an. And the day of Qiyamah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them. And thereafter to push them on in the alim cause, etc. So it is for us to understand that there is value in Qur'an, what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us. Otherwise when it comes to the degrees of dunya, as it explains, degrees of dunya, there's no guarantee. Now, the person explained, they went out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to America. And over there they met a person who was a very highly qualified engineer. So when they were speaking to him, they asked him, that what is your occupation? He says, that I used to work for Boeing. But they can't afford me anymore. They can't afford me anymore. So he asked this person, that how are you coming out every month? Look at the system of Allah. So he says that I have a handicapped child who is getting grants from the government, I am living on that. Through a child that is not mukallaf, incapable, Allah Pak is sending rosy to him with the person with a degree. The person who made Quran his life, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give you, what honor, what izzat, like Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. wherever they went, they took Quran Sharif with them. That is why in the dua, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Quran will be a proof for you or against you on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah Ta'ala make it certain on the day of Qiyamah that before we leave this world, that the Quran will also come with us in our kafan also. And with the qabr also, we'll be our attorney, advocate, we'll fight our case in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of Qiyamah, the Quran will hold our hand and take us to Jannah. But this will happen when we become Saatis and friends of Quran Sharif. We ourselves, we immerse ourselves in Quran Sharif, recite it daily, and our children take our time in the home, halqa of Quran, of ta'aleem. As it says, if we make the environment conducive to deen, then there will be no need to teach the children. We know the halat in the school nowadays, the amount of Quran they read. Nowadays they've cut down the hours of Quran tilawat in the schools also, but there's no time to read Quran Sharif. But the home is a place to nurture, as it says in the last few bayans, is a mother's responsibility to inculcate in the children the love of Quran, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love for the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was the time of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. He was a couple who was staying in Iraq. They had only one son. But their desire was that this young boy must go ahead in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reach the heights of ilm. But they didn't have the means. Today many parents who don't have the means will get a bursary for our child, will put him into university, he will get a degree, with the hope that he'll look after us, that he'll take care of us. Now recently we had an incident where there was a professional couple, well educated, and the mother-in-law had passed away, the father-in-law was staying with the couple. And the wife tells the husband that I booked a holiday overseas. And she tells him, now you have to make a plan to dispose of the old man, dispose of him. So he said, what do I do with him? He said, my father has given me education, but now what do I do? She says, well, book him in the best place, will they take care of him. He asks, where? She put him in the hospital for 1 week. They take care of him, the meals are free, and the best of care they'll take of, they'll look after him. But this couple now, not having the means, the father had one plot only, one home. He sold the house. All that money he gave his young son and told him, go to Madinatul Munawwara and seek ilm. Learn Quran, learn hadith. He asked his father, what you will do? He says, we'll make our life, my mother and I. But you go ahead. You go ahead. The young boy comes from Madinatul Munawwara. He comes to the court of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, very shandar court. And there's a bawwab, there's a doorkeeper there also. He tells the doorkeeper, I wish to meet Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. He says, well, you have to join the line. There's many people waiting. So the boy throws a fuss. He says, no, I want to go in. So he came from a Dehati background, a Bedouin background, not much mannerism also. So anyway, he enters into there. When he comes in the court of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, there are top fuqaha sitting over there. High ranking fuqaha, ulama ikram, sitting, discussing masail, in-depth masail. The young boy comes. The Malik says, can I help you? He says, I have a few questions to ask you. So he says, go ahead. So he asks Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, that what is the masla of wuzu before salah? So it's an easy question. You can ask even the doorkeeper, he'll tell you. It is a shart, it is fard. So Imam Malik answered him. Then he asked a few more questions, Imam Malik answered him. Then he told his khadim, his attendant, to take this young boy away and see to his needs, he needs anything else. So as the khadim takes him away, the boy begins to make a fuss. The Malik calls him back. He says, what is the problem? He says, well, he's handled me very badly. He's hurt me, the way he grabbed my hand. And I will hold you responsible on the day of Qiyamah. The Malik was on a back footing. The young boy is putting me in a corner. But this boy came with talab. My parents sent me for something. I have come to gain something. So the Malik says, how can I repay you for this? So the boy says, look at the environment he came from. He said, teach me ahadith. Narrate to me some ahadith. What you have heard from the tabi'een and tabu tabi'een. So narrate to me this. And this will be atonement for what he has done. So Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi began narrating ahadith to him. And this boy began to learn ahadith from Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. And finally this young boy stayed with Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. And the same boy whose parents sold the home to send him in the path of Allah to learn deen, he became the ustaz from Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi. The very same young boy became the Ustaz Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi. So So when it comes to ilm al-deen, when it comes to Quran, the khidmat of Quran, what izzat that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us, you gotta have confidence in yaqeen. As it says, once they went safar in overseas, and they had with them an alim, and a big businessman met this alim, and he asked him, how many sons do you have? He said, I have 4 or 5 sons. He said, what are they doing? He said, they're all becoming ulama. So that businessman told the alim, he says that you're a pakka alim, because you have confidence in your field. You have confidence in your field. I'm a businessman, and I know my business is making money, I'll put all my children in this field, because I know there's something in here. By you putting them in the path of Allah, and I can understand now in your heart, you have full confidence in what you are doing. This type of yaqeen we have to get. That there is no doubt in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of us. There is no doubt. A person, a parent cannot guarantee that I will send my child in the wrong path. He will send him to secular education and tertiary education and hoping that he will become deendar. But put him in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no doubt. There is no doubt. Yes, he is the only who is a branch of, that's his choice after that. But many parents will tell us that, Mawlana, I don't force my children. I don't force him to wear kurta. It must come from within him. You see, a child wasn't going to come from within a child. You have to put it into the child. As long as he's staying in under my roof, it's by my rules. We find many people say also, that Mawlana, now your son, you are so hard on him, now he's on off the track now. He doesn't talk about kurta and namaz. In the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have to secure my akhirat first. I have to do the right thing. In regards to my children, well, I have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them first. And then whatever he does thereafter, he will answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what an investment. An incident is mentioned about a mother who had passed away. And she invested all her resources in her young son. And he would become Hafiz al-Quran. And she passed away. Every day he would recite for her Quran tilawat and send Isa alayhi sawab to her. And as we hear in different riwayat that the Isa alayhi sawab is gift wrapped and served to the marhumin on golden platters. Like how we receive a hadiah as a gift. He's put it in a nice bag. Now we're anticipating, I wonder what's inside. So they wait also. Surah Baqarah, Surah Fatiha, Surah Al-Ikhlas, and it's coming. And the people of the Qubur, they are seeing that this person is receiving all the time. So, they envied her, that your son is sending to you all the time. And every Friday he used to go to the Qabristan to recite for his mother. And it's mentioned whenever he used to enter the Qabristan, he used to enter reciting Quran Sharif. And his face used to be brilliant with nur. So the night before, on the Thursday night, Lidatul Jumu'ah, his mother comes in the dream and tells him, oh my son, tomorrow when you are coming to the Qabristan, as you are entering, just stop your Quran tilawat. Because the people of the Qubur will see who is my son. When you enter, there's so much nur on your face, you cannot see your face. And they envy me. This was the investment she made. And this was, she was accruing after her demise. And this is yaqeeni, you believe in it. It is going to happen. After I close my eyes, every harf that the young child will read, every time he steps onto the musalla, for salat al-taraweeh, for imamat, the Quran is going to teach. Every harf by harf, the reward is going to go to the parents. It's going to go to the asatiza, those that contributed. This is an investment, which is forever. So therefore we have full conviction, that when it comes to the Quran Sharif, we will give our life, we will give our children to it. And there should be no tug of war between whether my child should leave school for this year, don't leave school, do Quran, hifz, don't do Quran. There is no debate. Understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us for this, for the khidmat of Quran, for the khidmat of deen. So we have full confidence in this. That this is what Allah ta'ala has made us for, and for this now we will give our life for it. And important from our homes, all these munkarat. Many parents say that, Mawlana, we've got to give them few things to cool their mind off. Give the children these type of toys. As I say that now, recently there were certain games also. Certain games that when they zoomed into that game, they found that you keep a certain book, and so much of a high score you get. And they saw that book, it was Quran Sharif. This is Quran Sharif, part of that game. This is what they're breathing within our children. They bear it be, the disrespect. And adab of Quran, love for Quran Sharif, our Hazrat explains to us what it is to make adab of Quran. How to respect Quran Sharif. How to show love to Quran Sharif. How to wash the cover of Quran Sharif. Rabbi al-Haqsa, rahmatullah, used to say that when it comes to the ghilaf of the Kaaba, The Kaaba Sharif is the makhluq, is a building. And the ghilaf that's attached to it also is sown by insan. When it comes to Quran Sharif, is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That cover that's attached to it has even more value. How you wash the cover of Quran, not with the napak clothing separately. The water, we gather it together, throw it to the plants. What respect to show to Quran? We have a separate desk for Quran Sharif. When we sit to recite Quran, the intentions we make, Ya Allah, for my hidayat first of all, for thawab, for taqarrub ila Allah, for the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the intention of making door. There are 20 different intentions that Allah that we find, or that has mentioned, to make intention reciting Quran Sharif. Accordingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us. Ya Allah ta'ala, inspire us, open our hearts. And Allah ta'ala, give us tawfiq to give our lives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, purify our souls, understand the love of Quran Sharif, and to push our children to the hifz of Quran. And as you mentioned also, when it comes to the environment of the home, we find this of before, as it says that after Fajr Salah, the simple home, the parents and children will sit together, recite Quran Sharif. Today our homes have become hotels. They become hotels. Each child has his own room. Some homes we go to, we find there that on the door, there's no entry sign. Trespassers will be shot on sight. Referring to the parents. That for you, you can't enter. But my friends, free access. They can come in any time. Put Quran into their lives. Teach them the Quran Sharif. The love of Quran. Then the love of parents will come also. There was once an article written that a girl wrote a letter to her father. She says that as long as you take care of us, you give us spending for airtime, clothing money, and spending money, we will live with you. But the day you can't afford it, then salam alaikum. As it says, this is what Western culture is doing to us. That the body of the child belongs to you, but the heart belongs to friends and other people. So give the child ta'lim of Quran, and the child's heart will belong to you. After your demise also, the heart will belong to you. Or he'll go on with his friends. Now, his potential sahab mentioned one time, it was on janazah also. There's a father that had passed away. Didn't give his children Quran tilawat. The son came to the janazah of his father, but he was on a high on drugs. He didn't know his father had passed away also. The mother to grab him and tell him, stand here quietly now. But give the children Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhira du'a alhamdulillah.
Jazakumullahu khair, ahsan al-jazah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and ability to make amal on whatever has been mentioned, to bring the love and muhabbat of Quran Sharif into our lives, have iman in Quran Sharif, to spread the Quran Sharif, to make amal on the Quran Sharif, to fulfill all the rights of the Quran Sharif. Inshallah, next will be Mulana Rafiq Khaturani Sahib, Ta'am al-Barakatuhum al-Aliyah, who is a Khalifa, Fazil Mulana Shaykh Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi. MashaAllah, Hazrat is a senior alim of our country also, and his ash'ara very, very famous. So may Allah give us tawfiq to benefit from him. Hazrat Mulana is not well also, but he has made himmat and courage, and he has taken out time to grace us with his presence.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. میرے مشفق حضرت مولانا عبدالحمید صاحب دامت برکاتہ نے کل کیا فرمایا کہ کونو ربانیین, don't call people towards yourself and show the people how beautiful you read, how beautiful qiraat you make, how beautiful bayans you gave. So don't look at my voice today, so because I'm not too well today, but حضرت والا yesterday gave dua that inshallah you'll be able to read, so I believe in حضرت inshallah you'll be able to read. But listen to the message of our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Akhtar Sam, Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Allah Ta'ala fills his qabr with noor. His advisors will remain till the day of Qiyamah. He is gone. There in this nazm and this ash'ar that I have here in front of me, Hazrat Wala Rahmatullahi Alayhi says there are some points, important points, nasayih, nasihats mentioned in this nazam, in this ash'ar. One is that it is very, very difficult for a person to suppress his nafs if he does not have a muslih, if he does not have a sheikh, somebody above him to correct him and to show him his mistakes. So it's very, very important to have a sheikh. That is one of the things that Hazrat Wala mentions in this. Second thing that Hazrat Wala mentions in this, Khuda ki sar kashi se. First thing that Hazrat mentioned, for a person to suppress his nerves. I just want to repeat it. It is necessary for him to have someone above him to correct him, to guide him. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِ إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوء. This nafs, who's saying, a Nabi is saying that. Although there is ikhtilaf in this, some people said that this is not a call of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, this is a call of Hazrat Zulaykha. So, in any case, most of the ulama say that it is as Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam called, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوء. Person's nafs gives him lots of hukam, lot of command to do wrong. Shaitan, no other shaitan came and he misled him. Who will misled the shaitan? His nafs misled him. So, this is what Hazrat Wala says. Agar Allah walon se nahi dil ki dawa paata, bahut mushkil tha apne nafs se sarkash ko daba paata. The person is not connected to a sheikh, it is very, very difficult for a person to suppress his nerves, to control his nerves. There's nobody to guide him. Hazrat Wala yesterday, Meri Mushfiq Hazrat Manana Abdul Hamid Sahib said yesterday, so by just reading kitabs and a person wants to make his Islam, it's not possible, it's difficult. Khuda ki sarkashi se khud kushi hai maal aur daulat mein, kabhi Allah walon se nahi aisa suna jata. This is the explanation of this ayah of the Holy Quran. Innal ladhina la yarjuna liqa'ana وَرَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَطْمَأَنُّوا بِهَا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا غَافِلُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارُ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Those people who do not believe that they're going to meet Allah, they do not have any hope to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ, they're happy with our life of this world. I've got a beautiful car, I've got a beautiful mansion, I've got everything that I want, I've got a fat bank balance, I've got land here, I've got properties there. وَرَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. وَطْمَأَنُّوا بِهَا, and they are quite satisfied. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا, these are the people, they are غَافِل and they are unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah ta'ala's signs. Allah ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارِ. Their place and their tikana and their abode is the nar, is the fire. Allah saves us, my brothers. This is what Hazrat Wala says, that kabhi khuda ki sarkashi se khud kushi hai. There is khud kushi. Person is committing suicide in this world, when he forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he tries to find enjoyment in the things other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala bi dhikri Allah tatma'innul qulub. A person who leaves Allah and runs away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a wall in front of him at every juncture. Wherever he turns, there is a wall for him. There is difficulties for him in this world. So Allah give us the tawfiq to be in his remembrance all the time, inshaAllah. پھر سکون دل اترتا ہے فلک سے اہل تقویٰ پر بدون حکم خدا سائن صدا. پھر کیسے پاچا رہا, that's exactly اللہ بذکر اللہ تطمئن القلوب. And as opposed to this, من اعرض عن ذکری, any person who turns away from my ذکر and from my remembrance, من اعرض عن ذکری, پھر کیا ہے, فإن له معیشة ضنكا, for him is a very difficult life. Wherever he goes, he finds a wall, finds difficulties, finds hardships. And if sukoon-e dil, happiness of heart, itminan of the heart, if it was something that anybody could have achieved and acquired it, then it was very easy. It was so easy for a scientist or for these people that got technology to make a hole into the earth. And just like how you take out anything else, petrol, gas and all those things, it would have been very easy for them to do, but it's not like that. This is the prerogative, it is the sole property of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What? Sukune dil is the sole property of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives it to whomever Allah ta'ala wants to. We can buy everything, we can buy a bed, but we can't buy the sleep. We can buy medicine, but we can't buy shifa. Ye to Allah ta'ala ki cheez hai. Allah gives it to whomever Allah ta'ala wants to. Ye meri aapki cheez nahi hai. Comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اور پھر فرماتے ہیں کہ abstain, this was Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali's mission, abstain from sins, abstain from gunas, abstain from wrong, from haram. Hazrat Wala, I heard Hazrat Wala saying, make, koi aisi halal cheez nahi hai jo main nahi chhodta. Koi bhi halal cheez ho, main nahi chhodta usko. Wherever I can get hold of it, I will do it. Lekin halal. There is so much enjoyment in halal. What is the reason for a person to get enjoyment from haram? There is no enjoyment in haram. بتوں کے عشق سے دنیا میں ہر عاشق ہوا پاگل. بتوں کے عشق, مال کے عشق, کار کے عشق, کار کا عشق, 4x4 کا عشق, beautiful house کا عشق, mansion کا عشق, ہر چیز کا عشق. بتوں کے doesn't mean only idols. All these are idols. عشق سے دنیا میں ہر عاشق ہوا پاگل, گناہوں سے سکو پاتا تو کیوں پاگل کہا جاتا ہے. Any person who is madly in love with a girl, what is it? Madly in love. Whom you say that? So Hazrat said, تو کیوں پاگل کہا جاتا ہے? Why do you tell him he's madly in love? حرام. And Hazrat Wala says, بچو گندے عمل سے, امردوں سے دور ہو جاؤ, اگر یہ فعل اچھا تھا خدا پتھر نہ برساتا. That all the governments are passing laws to legalize this wrong thing, this haram thing, gays and the sodomy and all these things. They look at what. And it is not only in our kitabs, in the previous books also, in the Torah, Injil, also these things are mentioned. بچو گندے عمل سے امردوں سے دور ہو جاؤ اگر یہ فعل اچھا تھا خدا پتھر دتھر نہ برساتا وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً مِّن سِجِّلْ مَنْضُود مُسَوَّمَةً عِنَّ رَبِّكَ وَمَا هِيَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ بِبَعِيدَ. I was reading it this morning. That Allah تعالیٰ sent down rains of stones on the people of Hazrat Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. And which kind? تَهْبَتَهْ سِجِّلْ. Which kind of stone? Brimstones, baked clay. And mambood, tehbateh, they were all packed on top of, so much rain came down that they were all packed on top of them and they were buried alive at the bottom. And musawwamatan, on every brimstone, every stone had the name of that person whom it was supposed to be striking. This is Allah Ta'ala's word. وَمَا هِيَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ بِبَعِيدٍ. That qawm, those qariya, those cities are not very far from you. They're not very far. If you go from Makkah to Sham to Syria, it's on the way. And this is one meaning. The other meaning is that if people do this wrong, then this type of azab is not very far from them. وَمَا هِيَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ بِبَعِيدٍ. Allah give us tawfiq, brothers. Hazrat further says, at the end, towards the end, that, you know, I get tired of telling you again the same thing. Stay away from wrong. Don't see wrong. Don't do wrong. Don't think wrong. Don't do haram. I get tired. I want to stop telling you these things, but I can't stop. Magar main kya karu? Chup bhi nahi mujhse raha jata. Main thak jata hoon apni daastaan de dard se akhtar. Oh akhtar, I get tired of telling you the same thing again and again. Oh akhtar, main thak jata hoon apni daastaan de dard se akhtar. Oh akhtar, I actually get tired telling the people this. Magar main kya karu? I'm lachar. I'm helpless. What must I do? I can't remain quiet. When I see people doing wrong, I've got to tell them, you are doing wrong. Stop doing wrong. Allah give us also the tawfiq to tell the people to stop doing wrong. Allah Ta'ala make us from among his da'is. Allah Ta'ala take us away as da'is. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Agar Allah walon se nahi dil ki dawa paata. Agar Allah walon se نہیں دل کی دوا پاتا بہت مشکل تھا اپنے نفس سرکش کو دبا پاتا خدا کی سرکشی سے خود خوشی ہے مال و دولت میں خدا کی سرکشی سے خود خوشی ہے مال و دولت میں کبھی اللہ والوں سے نہیں ایسا سنا جاتا کبھی اللہ والوں سے نہیں ایسا سنا جاتا
سکون دل اترتا ہے فلک سے اہل تقویٰ پر, سکون دل اترتا ہے فلک سے اہل تقویٰ پر, بدو حکم خدا سا ان صدا پھر کیسے پا جاتا, بدو حکم خدا سا ان صدا پھر کیسے پا جاتا, اگر اللہ والوں سے نہیں دل کی دوا پاتا, بہت مشکل تھا اپنے نفس سے سرکش کو دبا پاتا, اگر پیٹرول کے مانند ہوتا یہ سکون دل, اگر پیٹرول کے مانند ہوتا یہ سکون دل, زمین میں کر کے بورنگ اس کو ہر کافر بھی پا جاتا, زمین میں کر کے بورنگ اس کو ہر کافر بھی پا جاتا, بتوں کے عشق سے دنیا میں ہر عاشق ہوا پاگل, گناہوں بتوں کے عشق سے دنیا میں ہر عاشق ہوا پاگل, گناہوں سے سکو پاتا تو کیوں پاگل کہا جاتا, گناہوں سے سکو پاتا تو کیوں پاگل کہا جاتا, بچوں گندے عمل سے امردوں سے دور ہو جاؤ, بچوں گندے عمل سے امردوں سے دور ہو جاؤ, اگر یہ فعل اچھا تھا خدا پتھر نہ برساتا, اگر یہ فعل اچھا تھا خدا پتھر نہ برساتا, نہیں ممکن تھا ان کی راہ میں میرا قدم رکھنا, نہیں ممکن تھا ان کی راہ میں میرا قدم رکھنا, what others wala says in this portion I forgot to mention to you, that it is only through Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq that you and I are here in this line, only through Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq, یہ ہم کوئی بزور بازو نہیں ہے, اٹس ناٹ بیکاز آف آور کلیورنس, اگر جیسے اگر نہیں ممکن تھا ان کی راہ میں میرا قدم رکھنا, اگر جذبے کرم کی دل نہیں کوئی صدا پاتا, حضرت والا کا مقطع ہے, میں تھک جاتا ہوں اپنی داستان درد سے اختر, میں تھک جاتا ہوں اپنی داستان درد سے اختر, مگر میں کیا کروں مگر میں کیا کروں چپ بھی نہیں مجھ سے رہا جاتا مگر میں کیا کروں چپ بھی نہیں مجھ سے رہا جاتا میں تھک جاتا ہوں اپنی داستانِ درد سے اختر مگر میں کیا کروں چپ بھی نہیں مجھ سے رہا جاتا جزاکم اللہ
جزاکم اللہ احسن الجزاء May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and ability to practice on whatever has been mentioned, and we really appreciate Hazrat Maulana making the safar and coming in, joining us. Similarly, Hazrat Maulana Abbas Sahab, down barakatuhum al-aliyah, inshallah, will be giving the next bayan. Hazrat has made great sacrifice from the Urban he left this morning. He just landed now, inshallah, he will be giving the bayan. And especially because our Hazrat Abdul Hamid Sahab requested he comes. So because of that, whatever difficulties in teaching the whole week and on Sunday, the one day, he even gives that time up. So we really appreciate it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase him in honor and rank. So inshallah next we will be calling Hazrat Maulana. He is a khalifa of our Sheikh, Dada Sheikh, Hazrat Shah Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh. And together with that, he teaches the final year kitabs, Bukhari Sharif, in Darul Ulum Ispingo. For many, many years he has been teaching the hadith kitabs in the madrasa. So inshallah we will take benefit from him.
الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وله الكبرياء في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى إنه لا يحب المستكبرين قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال حبة مثقال ذرة من كبر هو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين respected مشايخ العلماء الكرام respected students and brothers Alhamdulillah, it is only due to the fazl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are sitting here in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in this islahi jalsa. Nahi mumkin tha uske raah mein qadam rakhna, like Qari sahab was just now mentioning, it was not possible for us to put our foot in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, come into this raah suluk, think about islah, think about deen, think about dindari. Was not possible, but with the qudrat of Allah, the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it had become possible. And we come to understand this if you look around us at the thousands and millions of people of humanity, mu'mineen, the ghair believers, non-believers, obviously, they are away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give them hidayat and tawfiq. And many of our Muslim brothers also are far, far away. Allah ta'ala give them tawfiq and hidayat. And Allah ta'ala keep us with istiqamat upon the path of piety and deen. As the Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi, very great saint of our time. Alhamdulillah, many of you must have witnessed him and saw him. He was known as the Qutbul Aqtab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised him to great heights. Just the fazail al-a'mal itself is the open dalil of his of his great acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sati was telling me on the way that his kitab is accepted. Perhaps it is read at every moment of the day. Because every group that goes out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes with the fadail amal, translated in so many languages, so many places, the difference of time. So he says, perhaps that's also read in every moment in different parts of the world. This is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the karam and acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hajjaj Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali writes an incident in his kitab, Ummul Amraz. He says, there is one incident that is embedded in the deep recesses of my heart. And I wish to share this, and it comes into my tongue and onto my pen. Involuntarily it comes onto my tongue and onto my pen. And I'd like to share this with every person that's got something to do with tasawwuf, or has wishes to tell the part of tasawwuf. I wish that this also must be into his heart, must enter his heart, and must remain in his heart, must be embedded in his heart. It is a very, I don't know how to express it, a chilling incident, moving incident, an incident full of lesson, an incident full of ibrat, an incident that makes us think, a heart-splitting incident, a hair-raising incident. You can think of the words yourself, and you hear the incident, you'll understand what the Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi means by this incident. He mentions the incident of Abu Abdullah, Shaykh Abu Abdullah Rahmatullah Alayhi Al-Andalusi, who was Shaykh al-Mashaykh. He was a Shaykh al-Mashaykh, and he was one of the leading ulamas of his time. Leading mashaykh of his time in tasawwuf. And he was an alim from Baghdad and Iraq. And under him were thousands of murids. Thousands of murids under the guidance of this Shaykh, eminent Shaykh, prominent Shaykh. And there were thousands of khanqas. Not one, thousands of khanqas. Thousands of madaris. Thousands of murids. Thousands of students. These words are mentioned by the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali. Thousands. And some people say his murids had exceeded 12,000. It is mentioned that this Shaykh, Abu Abdullah Rahmatullah Ali, had decided once to go on a journey. And on this journey, all many mashayikh and big ulama kiram and akabir had accompanied him and joined him. And from amongst them was Shibli Rahmatullah, Shibli Rahmatullah Ali, and Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali. We know the caliber of these people. They were with Shaykh Abu Abdullah Al-Andalusi, and they undertook this journey. And thousands of murids of Hazrat were also accompanying him, and they were going. Allama Shibli Rahmatullah Ali mentions that we had come to a town, come to a place, which was a locality of the Christians. And it was the time of Salat, time was running out. And obviously the fikr of every mu'min when the time of Salat comes, obviously the fikr of akabir and mashayikh is obviously to read the Salat. And there was no water available. There was no water available and time of Salat was going out. So we went out in search of water and we found water out of the town. On the outskirts of the town there was a well and there were some girls on that well. They were taking out water and we reached there to get out, get the water for wuzu purposes. He says that our Shaykh, his glance fell on one of the women. Our Shaykh's glance fell on one of the women, and he said, the moment this happened, his heart changed, and his complete position changed. Complete taghayyur came about in the mizaj and tabiat of Hazrat Abu Abdullah Rahmatullah Ali. He says, it had such an effect on him, that for 3 days and for 3 nights, Hazrat put his head down, and remain in that position for 3 days and 3 nights, not eating, not drinking, and not speaking with anyone. On one hand, it's the great status of the Shaykh. On the other hand, when we find immediately in the split second this situation takes place, we can imagine what had been going into the hearts of the Murideen that were there. Thousands of Murids see the respected Shaykh in this position. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. He says, after 3 days, Allama Shibli Rahmatullah says, I confronted him and I went to him and I told him, Shaykh, your murids that are here are completely finished. They are completely perplexed, worried, with anxiety and sorrow and grief. What is this that's happening? He said, the Shaykh lifted up his head and turned towards us and said, oh my beloved murids, I cannot conceal the truth from you. The truth is this, that from the time my glance fell onto this woman, then I have been captivated by the beauty of this woman.
I have been overwhelmed by the beauty of this woman, and none of my limbs can move now, and I cannot leave this place. I cannot move from here. This is the reality of affairs. Allama Shibli Rahmatullah tells him, says, Hazrat, you are our murshid, you are our sheikh, you are a sheikh of Iraq, and your knowledge and your fadl and your excellence and your grace and your ibadat and your worship is world renowned. You are world renowned, and you have more than 12,000 murids that are with you, with the wasta of the Quran, the tufail of the Quran. Do not disgrace us in this manner. Do not disgrace us in this manner. Sheikh turns towards him and tells him that this is our taqdeer. This is our naseeb, meror aapka naseeb hai. And the divine decree has taken place from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and things are beyond my control. The clothes of sainthood have been taken away from me. The signs of hidayat have been taken away from me. They have been snatched away from me. And he begins to weep and he begins to cry. He begins to weep and he begins to cry that this is what has happened to me. And things are now beyond my control. There's nothing, absolutely nothing now that I can do about this. Lama Shibli Rahmatullah mentions that we all begin to cry and weep. He is crying and we are crying profusely. He says in the words they are mentioned, till our tears are dripping onto the ground. This is how we are crying. Profusely. But we have no option but to leave our sheikh in that condition and to go back to Iraq. Because the sheikh says that things are beyond his control, he cannot move from there. When we get to Iraq, he says, when we break out this news, the shattering news to the people around there, the murids of sheikh, he says it had such a devastating effect upon them that some of them had passed away there and then. Can you imagine the grief and the sorrow? On one hand, can you imagine Sheikh's condition before this has happened? How elevated, how accepted, how renowned, and how effective was his position? And on the other hand, this happens. Obviously, sometimes the heart cannot take the news. Just the news is too much for a person, and the heart shatters, and the person leaves the dunya. I said some of the murids passed away on that moment. And some of them, most of them thereafter, went into sajda, went to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O muqallib al-qulub, O you who turns the heart, turn the heart of our sheikh. Turn the heart of our sheikh to that righteousness, to that piety, to that exalted position that you had given him before this had happened. And he says, for 1 year thereafter, all the khankahs were closed. All the thousands of khankahs that were open, and under the guidance of this renowned sheikh, he says that were all closed. And he says, we spend that year with much difficulty, with grief and sorrow and remorse regarding this condition of our sheikh. And thereafter he mentions that we decided to go and find out about our sheikh, what is his condition. He says one group got together and went thereafter to that locality in that place to inquire about the whereabouts and the condition of our sheikh. He said they were informed by some people that your sheikh, Allah forbid, your sheikh is now grazing some pigs and swines. This shattered them even more. That shocked them and shattered them. And they began to say, how did this happen? How did this occur? They said he had proposed for the girl that he had seen. And he proposed to the father. And the father accepted the proposal on condition that he grazes the swines and pigs. People said, we cannot contain our grief. And our hearts were completely broken and shattered. And we could not contain our grief. And with much difficulty we got to that place to witness that scenario with our own eyes. And he says, when we got to see our sheikh, we found him standing there. With the Christian topi on his head. And the zannar, the thread that is bounded by the Christians on the waist, we found him on that. We found him leaning on that asa, that same asa with which he used to give the khutbah and waaz, standing and leaning there and grazing the pigs. Allama Shibli Rahmatullah, he says, I addressed the sheikh and said, oh my sheikh, you were a person of knowledge. You had the knowledge of tafsir. And ilm of hadith, what has happened to you? Said the Shaykh replies that things are not in my control. My Mawla and my Allah has kept me in whatever situation He wishes to keep me. After He had granted me proximity and closeness, He has expelled me from His door. And nothing can avert the divine degree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter He tells him that be very careful of the anger and wrath of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is independent. That is Beniyaz. Never become proud and haughty about your condition. Never have any arrogance regarding your position. Thereafter he says that he turns his face towards the sky. And he addresses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, I did not expect to be disgraced and humiliated in this way." And thereafter he begins to cry and he begins to weep. And thereafter he tells Allah Mashibli to take a lesson from others. Take a lesson from others. He mentions Allah Mashibli Rahmatullah, mentions that he turns towards the sky and turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala weeping profusely and saying, "Oh Allah, we seek your assistance. We seek your assistance and only towards you we turn for help. And we place our complete trust upon you. Only you can take away this calamity and this musibah that has come upon us. Oh Allah, only you can do it for us." So thereafter our Shaykh also begins to weep and cry. He begins to weep and cry profusely. Says those animals that are around him, they also begin to weep and cry. Then he addresses the Shaykh and tells him, "Oh Shaykh, you are a Qari, you are the Hafiz of the Holy Quran. You could read in the 7 Qirats. What do you remember of the Holy Quran?" He says, "I only remember 2 verses of the Holy Quran. وَمَنْ يُهِنِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُمْ مُكْرِمٌ." Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disgraces, nobody can give him honor. And Allah Ta'ala does whatever He wishes. Nobody can honor a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disgraces. And another verse that I remember, وَمَنْ يَتَبَدَّلِ الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ عَنْ سَوَاءِ السَّبِيلِ. That person that exchanges his iman with kufr, he has strayed away from the straight path and the right path. These are the only 2 verses that I remember. "Oh Shaykh, you are a hafiz of hadith. 30,000 ahadith you knew. With the chain of narrators you knew. What do you remember of the hadith?" "Only 1 hadith. وَمَنْ يَتَبَدَّلْ دِينَهُ فَاقْتُلُوهُ. Person that negates and leaves it, turns away from his deen, then kill him." This is the only thing that I remember of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the 30,000 ahadith. It's mentioned, Shaykh Sibli Rahmatullah mentions that we were forced in the circumstances thereafter to leave our Shaykh and go away again. Because Shaykh said, "Things are not in my control. Things are not in my control and there's nothing that I can do." He says, "With very heavy hearts we left there, and we had hardly gone, barely gone, a distance of 3 days when we saw our Shaykh emerging from a river after taking a ghusl and bath and reading the kalima, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh." He says, "Only those people know the extent of our happiness and joy that knew the extent of our grief. Those people that knew the extent of our grief, only they could know and establish what happiness and what joy had come into our hearts when we saw our Shaykh again accepting Islam and being in this exalted position." He says, "Thereafter I asked the Shaykh," this is the place that the Shaykh Rahmatullah mentions after the incident that I wish to mention, but because they are great lessons for all of us at all times, I decided to mention the entire incident. He says, I asked my sheikh, that, oh sheikh, was there any apparent reason for this that had happened? For this test and trial that had befallen you, was there any outward and apparent reason? Sheikh Rahmatullah mentions to him, he says, yes. When we had got to that locality of the Christians, and I had witnessed the people witnessing, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the churches, and people fire worshipping the idols, a sense of superiority had come into my mind, and barai had come into my heart, that we are muwahids and mu'mineen, we are people that declare the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are believers, and look at these people. Look at these people here, kambakht log, ahmat log, these wretched and deprived people, people who have no understanding, are worshipping those things that are useless. He says, this thought has come into my mind. No statement, imagine, not even a statement, not even condemning them. This had come into my mind, and then a voice from the unseen had come to me. Do you think that your iman and your tawheed is because of your own kamal and your perfection, your own achievement, your own attainment, your perfection, your kamal? Everything is because of our tawfiq. Everything is because of our tawfiq. Do you think that Islam is in your capacity, in your ikhtiyar? You have choice over your iman. If you want, we shall show you now. And Shaykh said, at that moment, I felt as if a bird was flying out from my chest. And that was my iman. So the Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullahi mentions that this is what kibr is. That even the Shaykhul Mashaykh is not saved. He cannot say that I am guaranteed. I can save myself. It's only the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you get saved. So this is how sensitive this path is. And imagine 12,000 murids. Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi, Allama Shibli rahmatullahi. But what happens in the split second? The ghairat of Allah, the independence of Allah. Is something to be fearful about. Something to be concerned about. Something to worry about. It was this very kibr we find, which became, through which the first disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken place in the skies. Aba wastakbara wa kana min al kafirin. Allah ta'ala mentions Aba wastakbara, the details are known to you very well, that he refused to obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wastakbara, and he became proud and arrogant. Wa kana min al kafirin, and he became from those people that were disbelievers. The lesson that stands out there, before humanity had come onto the face of the earth, of shaitan, of pride, to show how detrimental, how destructive, how contemptible, how reprehensive, how evil, how bad is kibr and pride. That shaitan Azazil, some devices mention, 7 lakh years, 700,000 years in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and kibr and pride, expresses his pride, he becomes rajim ila yawmiddin, condemned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala till the day of judgment. This is that atom bomb that our Shaykh speaks about. The atom bomb of pride. The killer disease of pride. This is what pride is. And like we saw in this incident, not remarks, Allah Ta'ala save me and all of us. The remark that you hear about people that are in the disobedience of Allah, people that are kuffar, people that disbelieve. Here was just a thought, like Shaykh says, kibar came into me, pride came into my mind, and look at these people, how are they, and how good we are. So shaitan becomes rajim because of the kibr and because of the pride. And as Shaykh Rahmatullah mentions, that this is Ummul Amraz, this is the mother of all the diseases, all the spiritual diseases, all those sicknesses that we have come here for Islam, this is at the heart of it. This is the mother, and this is where all the other sicknesses will come about. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah even quotes Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullahi, Shaykhul Ajam wal Arab, that there are two sicknesses that are the basic sicknesses. One is Ja and one is Ba. Hazrat also mentioned in another place that the khulasa and the essence of the sicknesses that keep a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are just two. One is ja and one is ba. Ja is seeking position and status and pride, and expressing, looking for our greatness and acceptance in the eyes of people. And one is ba, the carnal desires. Mu'tamir Rahmat also mentions that it is kibr, and all the other sicknesses come out of kibr, come out of pride. And this is such a sickness that takes a very long time to come out. Takes a very long time to come out. As the Shaykh Rahmatullah writes in the kitab, also in the Muqaddama writes, that I also have pride. Imagine. To save himself from the sickness, that pride is in me as well. But shaitan has made it so alluring in our eyes, in our sight, that I feel, not you, I feel I got no pride. And this is the ploy of shaitan. From all the sicknesses mentioned, he injects this injection of pride into man. Because that was his downfall. Pride was his downfall. And when pride comes into the man, then that is his downfall. All his ibadat on one side. All his ibadat on one side. And just one iota of pride. Just pride equal to a mustard seed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us in the hadith, لا يدخل الجنة, that person will not enter paradise who has in his heart just one iota. Mustard seed, zarra actually is even less than a mustard seed. Four or five zarra is equal to a mustard seed. An atom, an iota of pride. He will not enter into paradise. The mashayikh writes, despite all his hajj and umrah, besides all his ibadat, still he won't enter paradise. Till he goes into the fire of Jahannam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. Just because of one iota of pride, just because of one iota of pride, this will be his condition. This will be his halat. So he says, shaitan doesn't stop a person from his salat and zakat, etc. He tells him to carry on, but he injects him with pride. Injects him with pride, with that atom bomb. Once pride is there, then it begins to destroy him. It destroys all his ibadat. It finishes him. He's completely devastated. When an atom bomb, you know what's an atom bomb, and what happens when a small bomb takes off, is denoted, what happens? How much destruction? Worse than that. That is why our Shaykh Rahmatullah mentions that call that squad, the bomb removal squad. Look for them. Go for them. As the Shaykh Rahmatullah, after mentioning the kibr, the bimari of kibr, he says, what is the solution? Go to the mashayikh. Go to the specialists. Go to those doctors, spiritual doctors. Let them remedy you. Let them treat you. Let them diagnose you and let them treat you. And follow the treatment, pride will go away. Very, very serious sickness. But inshallah, it will leave you. If you want to go and cure yourself, then adopt this formula and this method. And go to these people who are specialists. They will diagnose your sickness and they'll give you the prescriptions. And make ittila and ittiba. Tell them about what is wrong with you. And make ittiba and follow diligently what they tell you to do. And inshallah you'll be cured from the sickness. In the hadith in the Quran Park, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْتَكْبِرِينَ. Many other ayats, but we have restricted time. The Shaykh has quoted that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like the person that is proud and arrogant. That person that wants to show his superiority, he's proud, he wants to show his greatness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love that person. And our Shaykh Rahmatullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, raise his status and fill up his qabr with nur. He had mentioned, Allah ta'ala tells you, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ. We had learned it for mudari, for hal and istiqbal. We had learned it there but never used it. And the Shaykh, Allah will not love it now, nor in future. Pious person, reads his salat, gives his zakat, but he feels he's a very great person. Sense of superiority, looks down upon other people. Allah ta'ala does not love that person. Allah ta'ala turns such people away from his ayat, from his verses of the Holy Quran, from his signs that Allah ta'ala has placed in the four corners of the globe. Allah ta'ala turns that person away. He gets no understanding and no knowledge of the signs of Allah, of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he cannot, there's so to say a wall between him and the ayat of the Quran, a wall between him and all those great signs of the acts of greatness of Allah and the majesty of Allah that are out in the skies, in the earth, and all the other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person cannot see that. He's blinded because of his pride. This is how bad pride is. Some verses you understand, Allah Tanvi Rahmatullah mentions, the basis of kufr also is pride. That is why it's such a devastating and such extremely dangerous and detrimental sickness, because the basis of kufr also is pride. And this is proven in the Holy Quran also. وقال الذين استكبروا للذين آمنوا إنا بما أرسلتم به كافرون. Those people that were arrogant told those people that were iman that we deny and refuse what you have brought iman upon. Here the arrogance is cited and highlighted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, we find the Yahud and the Nasara, because of their pride, they did not want to become subjected to following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subjected to the deen of Islam, and following the orders of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They wanted to remain free. They wanted to be proud and arrogant. Similarly, we find so many other kuffar and not accepted the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of their pride and because of their arrogance. What we need to understand is, what is this pride? What is pride all about? When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions this hadith, the Sahaba has become very concerned that one iota of pride will deprive a person from Jannah. They become very concerned. This should be our spirit. When we hear of some danger lurking, especially a deeny danger, we should inquire more about it and abstain from it and stay far away. He said, O Prophet of Allah, one person says, O Prophet of Allah, إِنَّ الرَّجُلْ حِبُّ أَيَّكُونَ صَوْبَهُ حَسَنًا وَنَعْلَهُ حَسَنًا. O Prophet of Allah, a person likes that his clothes must be nice, his shoes must be nice. Other words, giving the impression that is this pride? Will that make a person pride and haughty that he wears good clothes and he has nice shoes? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, no, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِين يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. This is beauty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beauty, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes beauty. If it is not done because out of arrogance and pride for a person to look nice, etc., this is how flexible and how beautiful our deen is. Person is wearing nice clothing, he can afford to wear clothing. And his object is not to run anyone down, not to express his pride and superiority over others. Absolutely permissible. Allah ta'ala is jameel and he likes jamal. What is pride? Al-kibru batrul haqq wa ghamtun nas. Or kama qala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is kibr? Kibr has two parts and two components. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that is to reject the truth. To reject the truth is first, the first part Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions here, and to look down upon the people. To look down upon the people, to look upon the people with contempt, and to look to them with the eye of inferiority, inferiority that they are lower than me, and to despise them, to belittle them. This is kibr. So when it comes to the haqq, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi mentions that many a people, when the haqq is presented to them by the ulama kiram, they're not prepared to accept it. All the muftis of the world present the haqq. They do not want to accept it. Why? Because of their pride and because of their arrogance. They don't want to accept the truth. But remember, it's not only restricted to them. It can apply to me as well. My colleagues correct me and tell me that this is wrong. I do not say you are my colleagues. You are not superior to me, I reject you. If my students tell me that what you are doing is wrong, I do not say I won't accept it. That will also be tantamount to pride. Because the truth is presented to me, whether it is my wife, whether it is my students, whether it is my neighbor, whether it is my employee, whether it is my employer, whether it is the employer or employee, whether it is my customers. If the truth is presented to me and I reject it, this is a sign of my pride. Very simple. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith mubarakah are so wadi and so clear, like daylight. For me to declare myself a mutakabbir, very simple. Do I accept the truth when it is presented to me? If I do not accept it, then I have takabbur in me. I have pride in me. I am haughty. I feel I'm exalted, I'm high, I'm supreme, if I do not accept it. The second part Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, is to look down upon the people, to despise the people. Ghamtun nas. Batrul haqq wa ghamtun nas. To think of somebody as lower than yourself. Very, very simple also to analyze this. Very, very simple to analyze, Allah ta'ala, forgive me and all of us. Who, when you see somebody, especially somebody in ma'asiyat, somebody in disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when I see him, I get that feeling that I am better than that person. He is not carrying out that good deed that I am carrying out. This, in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is kibr, is pride. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not say, a Muslim, hamtun nas. People, Muslim, non-Muslim, atheist, kafir, mushrik. If I look down upon him as well, then this is also kibr. These people are not worshipping, I am worshipping. These people are not believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am better than them. I look down upon the people. This is takabbur. This is pride. Now what confuses many people is, aren't you a better person? Isn't a mu'min a better person than a kafir? And if he is, then what is wrong in thinking that he is evil? What is wrong in thinking that he is a bad person when iman is one of the greatest ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? and all the kuffar put together cannot equal one mu'min. No matter how the akhlaq may be, no matter how much they may serve you or your religion or your people or your family or your country, but if a person does not have La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, this is the criteria and standard in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us, then the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person will not establish a weight for that person. There will be no mizan for that person. Why? Iman is not there, the standard is not there. So Iman is so much virtue. Iman is so much virtue. If you look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's so much virtue. A person that kills one mu'min is like he has destroyed the entire world. قتل مؤمن أهون على الله ثواب الدنيا أهون على الله من قتل مؤمن رجل واحد مؤمن أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Entire world get destroyed. This is not so heavy upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like one mu'min banda been killed and destroyed. What we need to understand here is definitely Iman is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should express our gratitude and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the ni'mat, especially this great ni'mat of Iman. Our Ustaz Hafiz Abdul Rahman used to say, rahmatullahi alayhi, at least need two rakats of salat, expressing your gratitude, especially and specifically and exclusively for the ni'mat of Iman. We thank Allah for awlad, we thank Allah for health, we thank Allah for understanding, we thank Allah for ibadat. But the main ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala has given us, that is Iman, do we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Iman as well? So he says, we have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Iman. What does kibar mean? Kibar means that a person attributes the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards himself. What Qarun had said, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُ وَلَا عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. Not what Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam had said when he saw Bilqis, when he saw the jinnat coming. هَذَا مِنْ فَدْلِ رَبِّي لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ. This is from the grace of my Lord. He had attributed all that kamal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a mu'min. Every kamal, وَمَا لِكُمْ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Whatever ni'mat we have, it's not from my father, not from my mother, not from myself, not from my company. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used them. Sometimes when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala snatches away the ni'mat, all those asbab are there, that ni'mat is gone. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ سَمْعَكُمْ وَأَبْصَارَكُمْ وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ مَنْ إِلَٰهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ. When Allah ta'ala takes away hearing, we hear a person, his father is a specialist, his uncles are doctors, but he's there, nobody can help him. Something wrong with his kidneys, nobody can help him. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that gives us a ni'mat. Yes, we should thank those people that become the means of this ni'mat as well, but the real giver is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ni'mat that is attributed to a person himself, that this is what I am. This is what I am. I have attained this, I have achieved this. And he thinks himself to be great, that is vanity and ujub. And when he looks down upon the next person, that this person is lower than me, and I am better than him, then that is kibar, and that is pride. So it is just a small thing that makes the difference. When a person says all the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, oh Allah, this is from you. Then he's not a proud person. He acknowledges those ni'mat, he appreciates those ni'mat, he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those ni'mat. Not my kamal, it's from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever has happened, it's from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person is not a proud person. And he does not look down upon those people that do not have that ni'mat. Does not look down upon them, then he's not a proud person. He's not arrogant. He doesn't want to show his kibar. That you will not call kibar. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us what constitutes kibar and what is kibar and what is pride. That the person thinks great of himself, attributes the ni'mat to himself, that I have done this, and this sentence, I, myself and me, is so common in our society. I have earned this. I have got this shop. I have done this. I have carried out this. No attribution to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma'azallah, is taken out of the equation. And when musibat and calamity comes, Allah Pak save us, then we are turning to the Allah walas, to the ulama, to the masajid. We ought to do that at all times. But then we realize that the real giver is the zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not our earning. It's not me. It's not me that is doing. This is the bayanat itself. Our Kabir mashallah always mentioned this, that before we came into the dunya, what was happening. After we will go, what will happen. Show to us what happens to us. We forget. We feel we have power over ourselves. One person had mentioned that we have no power over our own selves. What power do we have over our breathing? What power do we have about the beating of our hearts? What power do we have over the blood flowing in our veins? What power do we have about the nerves in our body. What power do we have on the digestive system? What power do we have on our hearing system? What power do we have? We may speak, but what power do we have to take the sound out and to take the voice out? What power do we have as far as our digestive system is concerned, as far as our urinary system is concerned? Sit down with the doctors and ask them about the systems that Allah Ta'ala has put here, and then think and ponder, what power do I have? We have a little bit of power of looking, speaking, eating, drinking, moving our hands and limbs a little bit. That is all. That is why sometimes the attacks come from inside, not from outside. I've got a heart attack. We have no power over the heart. The heart is attacking me now, and I am laid up here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and save us and give us tawfiq and guidance. So everything is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we begin to attribute it to ourselves, that's where the kharabi comes out. And if you look around the environment, our children get baqaida training that you are a smart chap. One day when I last came to Transvaal, I met one student. He says, I'm attending a school and my teacher tells me I'm smart. In other words, you are the person that is running everything. You are smart. You are an individual now. You must develop your personality. This is the concept of many people, that you have a lot of potential and you must do this and you must do this and you must do this. They are actually trained in that line. And finally they get up and say, yes, we did this. So smart boy, time of Asr Salat had come, sticks into my mind. Time of Asr Salat had come, and father had called him, we had sat down in the car, we were going for Asr Salat, the father had called him by, come for Salat. I told him, call your son. No, Papa, I'm following. He had his friend with him in the car. An evil thought came to my mind, Allah forgive me, that I wonder if this boy would really come. It so commonly happens, but anyway, you're not supposed to think in that manner. And just as I thought, when we came back from Salat, he was not there for Salat. But the irony of the whole thing is, he felt nothing when his father came back, and he came back, he felt nothing. No responsibility as to reply to my father. He may ask me, he may tell me what happened by, we didn't come for Salat. No sense of responsibility, no sense of shame that I have to reply to him. Respect for the father, no. He didn't come, that's how smart the boy was. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us tawfiq that we realize before it's too late, that this is a very deadly sickness. And it's a very dangerous sickness. And it is very sensitive. This kibar is a very sensitive thing. As the Shaykh Rahmatullahi writes, it's a unique sickness. Such so unique that the person that has kibar does not know that he has pride. Like a person that's mad. He feels everybody else is mad, but he's not mad and insane. Similarly, a person that has kibar, he feels all the others have kibar. That person's got pride. This person's got pride. But I've got no pride. This is one remedy Hazrat mentions, to go to the mashayikh and to ask them, let them diagnose, take their medicine. Another remedy Hazrat Rahmatullah mentions is tablighi jamaat mein ek chilla lagana. Tablighi jamaat mein ek chilla lagana. Who's saying this? Hazrat Shaykh Qutb al-Aktab Rahmatullah alayh. But he puts two conditions there. Usoolo ke saath, aur apni islah ki niyat ke liye. Then he mentions a whole lot of details that I won't go into now, how islah can be made. And he says thereafter, there are many a people who go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make the islah, and we find when they come back, we find them that kibar is gone, that tawazu is created in them. We can see the tawazu in them. We can see the real tawazu in them. If they carry it out in the right principles and the right motive and right intention, then this is another way, another ilaj for that person who goes out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, Hazrat also mentions the signs of kibar. The signs of kibar, what is this? That a person, self-admiration comes in the person's heart. He begins to admire himself. Everything about himself is very good. His opinions, his ways, his suggestions are all very good and unique, infallible, so to say. Nobody can contest them. And with the result, that his opinions are held so high by him, that he doesn't want to accept the truth also. Like we hear so commonly, meri samajh mein nahi aata. Ye baat meri samajh mein nahi aati. I cannot understand this. Ulama kiram are saying this. Meri samajh mein baat nahi aati. This is that self-admiration. It is not aapki samajh ki baat. Allah aur uske rasool ki baat jo hai na, hum Allah aur uske rasool ki baat samajh karke hum qubool kar le. Hamari, as a joke with the students, hamari Khopri Sharif, one of our ustad used to say, when Rafiq will tell, maybe out here, he used to say, Khopri Sharif jo hai na, bahut choti hai. This Khopri Sharif of ours is too small that we can fathom and understand the wisdom of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this, we hear it so commonly. I don't understand this. Can't come in the very magad mani or tiwat. This is the self-admiration. Haq baat, but you cannot accept it. This is a sign of kibar. Another sign of kibr and pride, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, is this, that a person looks down upon people around him, their opinions, their ways, their clothings, their lifestyles, this, look down upon it. So common. Look at these people, people from other countries, begin to mock at them, their clothing, their ways, their style. Can you want to encourage? How are they speaking? Look at the Gujarati is so different. How he spoke English, this person? Look down upon people around you. That means you are despising them. You got pride. You think you are better than them. That's why you're looking down upon them. Thirdly, as Allah mentions, is this that a person engages in fault finding. Fault finding in the people. Very, very common. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. There is a large amount of people that go around the fault finding mission, the ulama-i kiram. MashaAllah. That alim is like this. This alim is like this. Just an ordinary person, we are not supposed to go and find faults from him. But because of the pride and arrogance, person begins to find fault. He begins to make ghibat of that person. Hazrat rise up to this extent that he even says that I don't indulge in ghibat, but at the same time he has that wish and continue, I'll listen to what you're saying. Don't make ghibat by me, but the moment that person starts, he's listening. He's listening to that ghibat and enjoying it. The sweetness of that ghibat is overtaking him. He's enjoying it up to that extent. This is a sign of his pride. This is a sign of his arrogance. Fourthly, Hazrat mentions that a person engages in acts of tawadu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive me and all of us. You walk out of this masjid, somebody's shoes are lying there. It's a student. I put the shoes right. And I feel in my heart that I have carried out an action of tawazu, of humility. This is pride. Can you imagine? This is pride. I did an action that I felt was below my dignity. Was below my dignity. I saw a person, ordinary person, nobody knows him. Who greets those people that are not from our country, not from our area, not from our town? Who greets him? But yet a friend will greet him from half a mile. But that person is standing here, may not have the same language, same color, same background. You don't even look at him. Yet it is the right of a mu'min to be greeted. Right of a mu'min to be greeted. So we act in, if you greet him, alhamdulillah, great, carried out a great action. I greeted that Mr. Nobody. I said, assalamu alaikum, I shook his hand. I feel in my heart that I've carried out an action, it is an action of humility. This is pride. This is pride. Because if I had humility, I just mentioned, what is humility? From the top to the bottom, a person feels that he is completely disgraced, despised, worthy of nothing. This is humility. A person of that status will never think when he carries out an action that I have carried out the action that is of humility. If he thinks it is the action of humility, that means he's got pride in his heart. Hazrat has a very beautiful example. He says when a poor man is sitting down on the floor, nobody thinks it's an act of humility. But when a rich person sits down, and he begins to think that, you know, I am a rich person, and I am sitting down, and he begins to think this is an act of humility. I should be sitting on a big sofa, etc. I am sitting down. That's pride. That is pride. That poor person thinks that I'm not even worthy of sitting on the ground. That's humility. I'm not even worthy of sitting on the ground and I'm sitting here. That's humility. Another sign, Hazrat Rahmatullah mentioned, is this, that a person carries out those actions that bring him fame and acceptance. Those actions that bring him fame and acceptance, he carries out those actions. So that people regard him, mashallah, as a very great person. Time to carry out some actions that people will hear, to give a bayan, for example, I must be there to give it. I must be there to give this, to carry out this action. Why? So that people can recognize me, they can see me, they can listen to me, and know I'm a great person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive me. The yearning for doing that means I got pride in my heart. I got barai. I want people must regard me as a great person. Another sign, Hazrat Rahmatullah mentions, I must get exclusive treatment. When I walk into this majma, people must keep away from me. Why? Because I'm an alim. People must move one side. Exclusive treatment for me. And if I don't get that, my heart becomes constrained. Logon ne meri qadar nahi ki. People did not value me. They don't know my value. They don't know who I am. I feel constrained. As it says, this is takabbur. This is takabbur. Reminds me, Hazrat Muhammad Thabi rahmatullah is walking, and his attendant is walking with him, and there's a municipal street sweeper there. Hazrat, this person tells him, Hazrat is coming, give way. Hazrat stops and reprimands his khadim, and tells him, you have absolutely no right. You have absolutely no right. Am I a Fir'aun? I am not a Fir'aun. That you have to stop this person from his work. He's a municipal worker. and he has a duty. He's getting wages for this. You have absolutely no Shari right to stop this person from his work that he's doing. And he reprimands his servant. And we regard it as a great khidmat making for my Hazrat, pushing the people away. This was an action that even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not like. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not like such an action. Another sign, the Hazrat writes, which is a very evil sign, which makes a person a great mutakabbir, is this, that he wants khilafat. He has become murid because he wants khilafat. Yani wo bara banna chahta hai. Wo bhi sheikh ki tarah banna chahta hai. Hazrat mentions an incident when one person has stayed a long time, and thereafter I told him, Sheikh, I don't see any benefit from sitting in your company. Asked him why. He said, main aapki tarah nahi bana. I haven't become like you, imparting knowledge to other people and making bad to other people. Sheikh told him, aapki niyat hi kharab hai. Kam az kam, tum ibadat karo, aur ashghal mein mashghool ho jao, is niyat ke saath ki jo nehmati Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ne hume di hai, iska hum shukriya ada karte hain. Try and rectify your life, at least to express your gratitude for this ears, for this eyes, for the neighbors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Don't wish for getting that position that you are big, that you become big and accepted by the people. This is also a sign of pride. Another sign Hazrat mentions, rahmatullahi, Allah ta'ala forgive me and all of us, I'm talking about myself, that you will find that this person, as far as his ibadat is concerned, he is not balanced. He is not balanced in his ibadat. He will fuss for small little things. And he will leave out big things. For small little things he'll fuss. But big things, wajibat, he'll leave out. Farais he'll leave out. Hukuk of nas he'll leave out. But little things he'll fuss about. He's not balanced. He's not a balanced personality when it comes to his ibadah. He doesn't give everything the proper maqam. He doesn't put everything in the proper perspective. A nafil is a nafil. A mustahab is a mustahab. A wajib is a wajib. A farz is a farz. He doesn't have marifat of these things. He just looks at the occasion and he chooses. Fix. And we all know some things become very important sometimes, and they're not important other times. Speaking softly, kindly, becomes very important in front of the sheikh, in front of the ustad. But that same speaking, you're the wife, you're in the workplace, it's free. You can do what you want. Use whatever language, whatever tone, whatever you want, you can do. So this inconsistency, this istiqamat, not being firm on one line, or not giving everything its proper perspective also is a sign of pride. In fact, Hazrat is written one ajeeb sign of pride. If we do not make tayari for the akhirat, this is a sign of pride also. Hame kya fikr hai? He says, as far as the dunya is concerned, every person goes through his job. He says, ma'azallah, the Allah of the akhirat is different, where is tawakkul, and the Allah of the dunya is different, kaam karna hai padega, warna rozi nahi milegi. Lekin akhirat ka Allah, ma'azallah, Allah ghafoorun raheem hai. There is also a sign of pride. So this sign I mentioned, not for me to sit and judge now that you're not doing it, so you proud. No, this is for myself. Any of the signs found in me, if they are found in me, then it's very easy for me to declare that I have pride in me. Very easy for me to declare I have pride in me, I have to go and remedy this. I have to go and remedy this. And our mashayikh, Allah ta'ala farj qabr up in noor, they had shown so easy prescriptions. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, easy prescriptions. One is to go to a mashayikh, as I said, which is ideal. Other things that Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah also mentioned, and other our Shaykh Rahmatullah also mentioned, is very simple. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi, make shukr for every ni'mat. Make shukr for every ni'mat. What a simple remedy. Just say Alhamdulillah. You reach the masjid, Alhamdulillah. You got your water, Alhamdulillah. The flight came on time, Alhamdulillah. You reached the shop, Alhamdulillah. Everything was fine, Alhamdulillah. How? It is difficult for us to say Alhamdulillah. But then Alhamdulillah will only stem from that heart that has the appreciation of that ni'mat, that realizes that this is the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That heart, Alhamdulillah, will say. Otherwise the person will forget to say Alhamdulillah, or Bismillah wa la barakatillah, when he's eating food. After eating the food also, a sumptuous meal, having so many delicacies, 10 types of food, we forget to say Alhamdulillah. Why? Because you do not recognize and realize that this is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Simple remedy. Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi proves it. Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi tasawwuf was not just words. He's to prove it to the Ahli Ilm also understand. Hazrat says, you must say Alhamdulillah. Why? Because, what is pride? Pride is something, is from those things that leads you away and far, takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, distance you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is shukr? Shukr is something that brings you close to Allah. Allah loves that person that makes shukr. Allah increases that person who makes shukr. So shukr is something that brings you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And pride that takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And being away and being near, these are two opposite things. They cannot be found in one single moment. If a person is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will become near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He won't be regarded as arrogant and pride. He won't be regarded as that person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejects and dislikes. So just make shukr for the ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. What a simple remedy. Such a simple prescription. Another prescription Hazrat Rahmatullah mentions is, make dua for the acceptance of your amal. You're carrying out a very great amal. Very great amal. You made bad of hundreds of people. Turn to Allah. Oh Allah, it is your tawfiq. You accept it from me. The person that has this spirit in his mind and heart is not an arrogant person. Why? He's not attributing that towards himself. He's attributing it towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's attributing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever ni'mat you are given, as we had mentioned in inception, you don't regard that ni'mat from yourself, regard it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also regard it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclusively. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not giving me this ni'mat because I am worthy of it. I am eligible to get this ni'mat. I have that kamal in me. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me this ni'mat only out of His fazl and out of His grace. Oh Allah, I am not worthy for this ni'mat. I am not worthy. It is your fazl and your grace that you have given me this ni'mat. When the person makes this muraqabah and he thinks in this manner, he will not become proud and arrogant. And together with that, oh Allah, you have the power of taking away this ni'mat. You have the power of taking away this ni'mat. And we see this every day. There's so much ghaflat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive me in our heart, my heart, that we don't realize, we don't reflect when we see it. Person is healthy, wealthy, tomorrow he becomes a pauper. Shop burned down, everything gone. Person was so prominent, tomorrow he's jailed, he's in the jail for no reason whatsoever. Person had so much health, next day he cannot walk, he's paralyzed. Young boy, can't walk. About 18 years old, he couldn't walk. Just got up one morning and can't walk. So the one that has given me the ni'mat can take away this ni'mat also. So there's no reason for me to be proud and arrogant. No reason to me to think that I am the one, I am accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not the concept of a mu'min, that when he gets mal and when he gets wealth, then he feels he's accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because wealth and mal has no value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What causes this pride? Becomes very lengthy if you go into details. Some of the things that causes pride is wealth. Person that has wealth, good children, etc., it becomes very, very proud. Becomes very, very proud. That I have so much wealth, I have so much properties, I have so many things. And he mentions it, this is mine, that is mine, this is mine. One person that said so beautifully, all these are liars. All the people that came in the past were liars, and these are also liars. Why? When the eyes will close, they'll leave everything and go away. But throughout their life, ye mera hai, wo mera hai, wahan bhi meri property hai, yahan bhi meri property hai. All a bunch of liars. With the eyes closed, everything is left here and they are gone. Which is the reality. So wealth, person feels I've got wealth, so I'm proud because of that. Sometimes children, I got so much aulad, mashallah. I got it. Allah Ta'ala gave it to you, you didn't get it. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gave it to you. Ask those people, they got no aulad. Everything under the sun, tried. Aulad is not there. It's not muqaddar from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes it's because of position. MashaAllah, I'm the manager, CEO. Nowadays you don't even know the words. I have this position, that position. Because of that a person feels proud and haughty, etc. And sometimes for us, especially for myself, your position, your knowledge. The little knowledge that you have or I have, you feel because of my knowledge, I'm more superior than others. Because of my ibadat, because of my worship, Hazrat writes, this person that has this spirit, that because of my knowledge, because of my ibadat, etc., I am better than the next person, this person is even more stupid and ununderstanding, less understanding he has, then that person will feel I'm proud because of my wealth. Why? The wealth is something tangible, something there. Man is affected, he does not think beyond his nose where it comes from, what's the consequence of this wealth and what will happen. But ilm, and ibadat, etc., is not tangible, firstly. Secondly, there's no guarantee that it's accepted in the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat writes, the greatest buzruq cannot stand up and say, I stand up and tell you, all my actions are guaranteed and accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that which may not be accepted by Allah, what are you proud of? What are you proud of? And it may not be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thirdly, that person who thinks himself, this is the highest stage of pride, who thinks himself to be humble. Person who thinks himself to be humble and is filled up with pride. He will never make tawbah of pride. Why? Because he always says, I am humble. I am a humble person. I put the shoes right. I serve the children. I do this. I do all these humble actions. So I am not a proud person. I don't need to make tawbah and istighfar in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because I'm not proud. So these are some of the causes, some of the signs we have mentioned, the ilajas we have mentioned. The person must think and reflect. Think and reflect on that next person. There's basically three elements here. One is, he should also, after realizing what he is, all the namas he has, he must also think and ponder what he is, where he came from, what he is now, and where he is going towards. Become too lengthy, all these things I told to you. This is a reminder for myself, that who am I? Came from a napak drop. Nurtured by napak blood. Carrying napaki. Such napaki, if that napaki Allah Ta'ala saved me and all of us, gets exposed here and now, all of you will run away. Not one person will stand here. Such a stench it has. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made parda. If you're walking with that napaki, Allah has accepted in the house also with that napaki. Fadl of Allah. Hazrat Rahmatullah said, it's a very ajeeb thing. Allah ka Allah hone ki dalil ye hai, ki humare material ko jaanne ke baad bhi, apne dast, dosti ka dast ko barate humare taraf. Allah ta'ala knows how we are created, what we are created from. Still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ya ayyuhallazina amanu ittaqullah. In awliya'ahu illa al-muttaqoon. Allah ta'ala extends his hands of friendship to us. Who wants to make that person that is so napak, that has so much stench in him, so much evil with him, his friend? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah hai. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so much love for the bandas. Despite that najasat you got, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you his friend. Then when you're going to end up in the grave, what's going to happen to me and you? All these eyes, ears, that we look after this zahir body, that we work for the morning till the evening, fed it and nourished it, etc. What will happen to it? Disintegrate. Allah has made parda after we pass away. Then Allah Ta'ala said, take him quickly to the Qabrastan. If that body is there for 1 or 2 days, who can withstand the stench of that body? Even our most beloved people will take us quickly and say, take this body and dispose of it. We cannot stand the stench of this body. This is what we are. Then, what happens to us? How are our amal? Or what sicknesses we have in our heart? Greed, jealousy, hatred, malice, all evil qualities, evil characteristics. And they also have a stench. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive me and purify me and all of us. Then the amal that we carry out, the actions, the sins that we perpetrate, how evil they are. All these brings the person to his senses and he realizes that I am worth nothing. I have no reason to be proud. I have no reason to walk on the earth in such a manner that I am greater than the next person. I have no superiority. The actions I carry out, how much shortcomings are in my actions, in my tilawat, in my salat, in my zakat, in my hajj. How will they be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And then Hazrat mentioned that you must say to yourself, kitum itna kamina admi hai. Okay, this is your condition and you're looking down upon somebody. You're making ghibat of somebody. You feel that person got kibar. And this is your condition. This is your condition. So, mashallah, the mashayikh, rahimahullah, the present mashayikh show us various different muraqabats that we could think and ponder about to make us come to our senses. To make us come to our senses. Has mentioned so many things, simple, simple things. Don't mix too much with the wealthy people. Because the wealthy people normally are arrogant people because of their wealth. Normally. Not all wealthy people, mashallah. They are such also like Usman Ghani, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, like Abdul Rahman bin Auf, radiallahu anhu. You can't even make out they are wealthy. Their wealth has not reached their heads. Has not reached their heads. One wealthy person in Durban told me, my mother told me always, he says, but keep the wealth in the hands. Don't let it reach the heart. Don't give it the place in the heart. Imagine. His mother told him, he himself is, I think, over 70 or 80 years old, how old his mother must have been. I don't think she went to any Darul Ulum to learn all this. These were those ingrained and inbuilt qualities in our akabir that they had got. Allama, and we find in our older generation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept these virtues and these qualities. Sheikh Awama, Tamas Barakatuh, had mentioned a very strange thing. He was asked by somebody, Sheikh, what is the reason that we find such a great difference and such a vast disparity and difference between the older generation and this generation and the next generation? You see it, I don't have to tell you, you notice it every day. In terms of respect, in terms of piety, in terms of morality, in terms of haya, in terms of taqwa, every single aspect. Again, what a beautiful answer. He says, we are drifting away from the zamana of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those people were much closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then this generation came. Now the next generation, we are moving step by step away. And as the sun sets, the darkness begins to become intense and more intense and more intense. What a beautiful reply. So understand the setup that you see around us. Don't mix too much with the rich people. Sit with the poor people. Sit with the poor people. Mix with the poor people. Make khidmat of the poor people. Make khidmat of those people that are Mr. Nobody. Don't make khidmat of the akabir. Don't make khidmat of the leaders and of those very pious people. Don't make too much khidmat of them. Why? That will bring about greatness in your heart. Make khidmat of those people that are Mr. Nobody. Person that's standing on the street side, he needs a job, he wants a few rands. Stop, help him, give it to him. This will bring humility in you. These are acts that will bring humility in you. Make salam to one and all. Make salam to one and all. When you come into the masjid, make salam to everyone. You come out to the street, wherever you see there, make salam to him. This will bring humility. Assist everyone. Make the khidmat of everyone and anyone. These are the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Old lady is going and she has a load. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi picks it up and takes it. Our akabir, look at their lives. So many incidents of our akabir. They don't even know. When a Siddiq Bandi, one person says, the Mufti Zubair said it the other day, he says, if you're going with a South African, we had some load and we sent this son, Babaji, Mazallah, walking. He came and took the saman and he carried it. Mufti Shafi Rahmatullahi took somebody's saman, not knowing that it's Mufti Shafi Rahmatullahi, took it and carried it. Making khidmat, Sheikh Ul-Hind Rahmatullahi, the person comes to him in his house, feeds him, gives him tea, gives him food. I want to meet Sheikh Ul-Hind. Just now, inshallah, thereafter he says, you don't know Sheikh, my name is Mahmoud. Simple, making khidmat of those people. This will bring about humility. This will bring about that which we want. It will take away that pride automatically. It will help in taking away all that pride. Similarly, Hazrat mentions that if somebody backbites us or speaks evil about us, don't worry, make shukr, alhamdulillah. There's so many other evils that I have, that person doesn't know, alhamdulillah, your shukr, ya Allah, that you have made parda upon me. What do we find? Somebody spoke something about, I heard somebody said something. Sleeves are folded by, what do you think of yourself? You know, who am I? I'm so and so. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about Imam Hanifa Rahmatullah's kissas, and people speak ill about him, what he did, sent gifts to them. Lama Ul Hasan Nadwi Rahmatullah, sending mitai to people who are talking evil about him. These were all characteristics that had come down from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi, humble people, humility, acts of humility, adopt acts of humility, pride goes away. You think we are Mr. Nobody. Do your own work. Do your own work as far as possible. Don't let the mulazim do your work. Don't let the wife do the work. Allah forgive me. Anything you want, bring the pen, bring the tea, bring the glasses. She's not our mulazima. Do your own work. That will bring simplicity in your life. In fact, Hazrat rise up to this extent that don't even have a mulazim. The money that you're giving for the person you're paying him, give it out as charity. See how much humility will come into you. See how much humility will come into you. A person has usurped your rights, has taken away your property, etc. Don't go fight him in the court, overlook it. He's taken that away wrongfully, overlook it. Today we run to the courts. Pay thousands of rand. The item taken away was 5,000 rand. The court case cost 10,000 rand. Now to show him a point. Kibar. Point the point. What's the point? The point is the kibar. I want to show him who I am. And for those reasons that we are not, that we have no justification. You're owing somebody some money and you didn't pay him. And he asked you politely, what's my payment? Oh, I'm not going to pay you. Do what you want. Go to the courts. Arrogance, pride, imagine. Far away from a mu'min. That will take a person away from the acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So rife in our community. Some little thing is told to us, you become arrogant, proud, look down upon the person, begin to abuse him in all different ways, emotionally, physically, different ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. So here, Hazrat mentions that all these things actually conscientizes us with this incident about how destructive kibar and pride is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq and guidance to worry, be concerned and to worry about this. And to say to yourself, I must say myself that I got kibar. I must say myself, I got kibar. I came out of the masjid at the house yesterday, I saw two children, the azan was gone, sitting there with their cell phones. Thought came into my mind, look at these boys, no value. Azan went, I'm going to the masjid, they are sitting there. What does this mean? I am better than them. This is kibar. I am better than them. That's why I'm looking down upon them. That's why I feel what they're doing is wrong. And they are people who have no appreciation for the azan. That means I think of them to be worse than me. I am better than them. This is kibar. Yes. If my feelings are only out of concern, I must genuinely get these brothers to the masjid. And this is not only for the Muslims. Even a non-Muslim entering into azad, well, hold on, the police car, I ask the brother, what's happening? Something. They're also part of the security. No. One person was shot and killed. Some taxi. It was a high-ranking person as far as the taxi group is concerned. Ya Allah, we don't know how we're going. Ya Allah, we don't know how we're going. Well, at Hamdi Rahmatullah, our Sheikh used to mention, to become too lengthy, I'll just terminate here. There's two, three things that our Sheikh Rahmatullah had mentioned. That the antibiotic of kibar, Mawlana well, Thambi Rahmatullah, was a real hakim. One sentence. As I mentioned, there's a three-dimensional thing. One is not to think anything about yourself. Think low about yourself. The second thing is, don't look down upon your Muslim brother. And thirdly, this aspect got completely left here. Wallahu al-kibriya fi samawati wal ard. All greatness attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All majesty, greatness, magnificence belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does not belong to me. These are three aspects. You can go and research and ask your mashayikh also, they'll tell you. Person that has these three things, pride will not come. In fact, Mawlana Thalbi rahmatullah, just in this ayat mentions, Wallahu al-kibriya fi samawati wal ard, wa huwa al-azizu al-hakim. He says the person that holds this ayat in front of him, apni nazar mein rakhta hai, to kabhi kibar iski dil mein nahi aayega. See, ye ayat. And I remember our Sheikh Raft also mentioning, recite this ayat, walau kibriya fi samawati wal ard, wa huwa al-azizul hakim. Our Sheikh meant many other things. Rabbana taqabbal minna also is a remedy for pride. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, after building the Kaabatullah, says Rabbana taqabbal minna. You read it also, inshallah, take your pride away. It expresses your humility, O Allah. My actions are not worthy of acceptance. رَبَّنَا تَخَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Says one antibiotic of Mawlana Thambi Rahmatullah Alayhi is this, that, Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi say, you should think, at the moment, I regard all the mu'mineen as better than me. At this point in time, all the believers, Hazrat, you should also mention, when you go to a gathering, the first thought that must come to your mind, that I am worse than all these people. All these people are better than me. Whichever gathering you go, the first thought must be, oh Allah, I am worse than all these people. So the Mawlana Thambi Rahmatullah mentions that at this point in time, all the mu'mineens are better than me. I do not know what naked that they have made, it may be in their book of deeds, that will be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I must have carried out some sin, which I will be rejected in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I do not know. So I regard them all to be better than me. As far as the non-Muslims, and as far as the last aspect of my life is concerned, in future, I regard the non-Muslims and even the animals better than me if my khatiba is not upon iman. And which is the fact, Allah Ta'ala take us with iman. If our khatiba is not with iman, then the non-Muslim, the kafir, and what is the difference between me and him? What is the difference between that animal who will not have to account in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In fact, he's better than me. So if I do not pass away upon iman, ultimately I regard these people to be better than me. There's nothing left. There's nothing left, no human being left. Every mu'min is covered, every non-Muslim is covered here. So not despising anyone. And Hazrat used to mention, that how can we celebrate before the time of celebration has come? We can only celebrate when we know. Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi, the great saint that mentioned, sometimes the angels are envying me. And sometimes the shaitan is laughing upon me. And only when we take this iman into the graves, thereafter can we celebrate. We take this iman. Our khatima, how our khatima is going to be? This person passed away. How is khatima? Allah knows. How is my khatima going to be? How can I look down upon that person who doesn't have iman now? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give him iman tomorrow and he can be walking in Jannah. We know the incident of Mawlana Qasim Nanotvi rahmatullahi alayhi wa sallam, right? He saw one Banya Hindu person walking in Jannah. Are you up here? Says, I recited the kalima before I passed away. Who can give us guarantee? So many incidents we see, so many incidents. I don't know about incidents that taking place here in Transvaal. A day before this person passes away, he recites the kalima. A day before he passes away, he recites the kalima and enters it. And he leaves the dunya with iman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the concern of the akhirat and our ending, must keep us vigilant all the time, worried all the time. Ya Allah, I don't know if that man is better than me, till my khatima is not made on iman. Like that person who begins to celebrate Hazrat Mentions, before his exams results are out, he's celebrating. I was saying my son yesterday, it reminds me, when we were in Karachi, there were some people who asked him, how was the paper? MashaAllah, what asanta. We saw the results, he had failed. So, we cannot celebrate till we don't see our results. And Hazrat also mentions that beautiful example, Allah Ta'ala forgive me and all of us, MashaAllah, people praise you, talk about you, so nice bayan you gave, so nice you read the qiraat, so nice was this, so nice was that. These praises come and go, like Muhittaki Sahib Dawud Barakat mentioned so beautifully, it's a hawa mein chale jaane cheeze hai, it's a rehne waali cheeze nahi hai. If you only hear it then, and your nafs will say, let somebody else also tell me so I can enjoy it again. That's the only khulasa. It brings no result in the end. There's no end result of that praises of yours. So, the praises remain with you. Good bayan, Allah Pak accept. Not from me, from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Good bayan is that bayan that changes me firstly, and changes you. Not that bayan that came into our ears and we felt very nice and entertained. That's not a good bayan. Good bayan is that bayan that draws us towards the subject and brings a change firstly in the speaker and myself and all of us around us. So Hazrat mentions that person wanted to sell that horse of his that was very lazy, etc. I gave it to the person, the agent, and the agent came there, and you all know those that go to the auction sales, etc. will know what happens. He says the agent started. He started from Alif till Ya. This, that, and this is the Kamal, and this is the Khubi. He began to exaggerate it so much that Khud Malik ki mume pani aage, said, no, give it back to me. Now it's something to laugh about, but it's something to cry about. Oh no, mashallah. The other day, one family lady told me, very strange thing, I laughed, but I didn't share it. She said, I went somewhere, they said, look at the noor on her face. So I kept quiet, I didn't say, when they said this, you forgot all the zulmat of your sin, of your bad habits, of your disobedience, you forgot all that, because they said, look at the noor. So same, mashallah, oh mashallah. You know, I saw you in a dream, mashallah. This happened, my nafarmani, my gustakhi, and my disobedience to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my evil characteristics, my hatred, my jealousy, all forgotten. Why? Somebody said, you are a very pious person. You remind me of a certain buzruk. You look like a certain buzruk. MashaAllah, buzruk. So same like this person. He knows the horse so well. We know ourselves more than he knows the horse. We know ourselves more than he knew the horse. But because of this praises outside, he was taken away, carried away, and he said he wants the horse back. Praises with Allah Ta'ala praises us, inshallah, tomorrow the day of judgment, and tells us, kulu washrabu hani'an, told to us, enter into paradise, udkhuluha bisalamin aminin, udkhulu antum azwajukum, then we can say, alhamdulillah, our efforts were fruitful in the dunya, Allah Ta'ala has accepted us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq and guidance, to put these words make these words realities in our hearts, with the barakah of our mashaykh and our akabir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure us, from this malady of pride, which is very, very detrimental and very serious. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that we leave this dunya in such a state that you are free from this malady. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts us. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Jazakumullahu khairan. Inshallah, we'll be having a short break. And I humbly request the brothers to go, there will be some milkshakes served in the courtyard, and we should try to return as quickly as possible. Inshallah, within 10 minutes' time, the program will continue. Jazakallah.